at Todd Furman on Twitter, toddstake.com. With us now. Hey, Todd, what's up?
Not a whole lot, boys. Have you started pre-gaming for the Battle of Bristol this weekend already?
I am headed up that way, but not till Friday night after we do a show in Clarksville, which is an hour the other direction. So, yeah, looking forward to it, though.
It should be an electric atmosphere, and in a college football weekend that doesn't promise a whole lot of marquee matchups, it'll be good to see all the eyeballs on Virginia Tech and Tennessee out there.
Opening NFL weekend, we'll roll through some of those games in just a minute. Let me start on the college end of things. Western Kentucky at Alabama. Western Kentucky won easily, but so did Bama.
Yeah, this is a massive number here for Alabama to lay. Not the optimal scheduling spot that you want to feel comfortable with a four-touchdown favorite, knowing that Alabama has a revenge date on deck with Ole Miss. Alabama will win. They'll win this game comfortably, but if you're going to bet it, Western Kentucky plus the 29.5, the only way to look, knowing that that back door should be open all game long for Jeff Brohm's high-powered offense.
I like that, too. Kentucky at Florida. Florida did not look good, and neither did Kentucky.
They did not, but I think Kentucky brings a lot more offensive firepower to the table than Florida, and that's what you're looking for with an underdog of this price. I do think we're going to see Florida consistently get better with a young quarterback and Luke Del Rio under center. My issue is with the Kentucky secondary. I don't think they even came out of the locker room at halftime against Nick Mullins and company. And how you run only 14 plays in an entire half of college football,
You
had a 25-point lead, mind-boggling to me. Kentucky will be better this week. They have enough players on offense to keep this game inside the number.
Interesting. All right, Arkansas at TCU. 7.5 last I saw, TCU.
Yeah, this game, one of the more fascinating matchups of the weekend, intersectional showdown between a team expected to compete for Big 12 glory in TCU and a side in Arkansas who has to imagine now that the opportunity is there for maybe to climb in the SEC West standings with only Alabama distancing themselves from everybody else. Arkansas struggled to run the football in their opener, barely eclipsing 100 yards. They did hold Louisiana Tech in check. It's a question of if Arkansas can shorten the game and limit TCU offensively. I'm not sure they can. I don't love the Horned Frogs defense, but I think they can outscore Arkansas, a lay it or don't play it type scenario.
Todd Furman, our guy in Vegas, at Todd Furman on Twitter, toddstake.com, the website.
Well, Todd, I have to ask you about that football power, my alma mater, Ball State versus IU. Who's going to win the Hoosier battle?
A big win for your alma mater last week. Professional bettors didn't think they could go down to Atlanta and get the W against Georgia State. Did so as 5-point dogs. And more importantly, Blaine, you had a running back slide down inside the 1-yard line with about a minute and a half to go to keep the game under the total. Ball State could have put it over the number.
Mike knew about that.
I think this is a tough spot, though, for the Cardinal to go into Bloomington and take on Indiana. This is an Indiana team, in my opinion, who's a little bit undervalued in the market. They'll get some of their key contributors back offensively that were suspended for the opener against FIU. No real strong opinion here as the number's gone from 16.5 to 18.5, but do lean towards Indiana. However, in your honor, Blaine, I'll root for Ball State since I won't have any money on the game.
Chirp, chirp. Thank you. All right. Yeah, no, probably a lot of people won't. But a lot of people will on this game here in Nashville, Tennessee, and that's Middle Tennessee at Vanderbilt. Who's going to win this one? I'm so interested in this game. I'm even thinking about going to that game over the Ball State game.
We can only hope that this game between Middle and Vandy is a little bit more exciting than the garbage we were exposed to last year. A game that was 6-3 at the half and turned into a barn burner late with a 17-13 outcome. As we saw last week in Vandy's opener against South Carolina, I don't think you can feel comfortable laying points with them against any offense that has a semblance of a pulse. You couldn't feel comfortable laying points against a South Carolina team that had no offense for three quarters. No strong opinion at 5.5, but I think the over-under at 45. I like this game under. If it goes over the total, it means Middle was able to score, and I think they'd have a chance to win the game outright.
Oh, okay. Next time, just tell us how you really feel, though. Okay?
Well, you know, after all this time, I don't come on the air in Nashville and mince words about the local teams just to make listeners feel good about their favorite program.
Oh, right, of course. But on the prop bet side of, I'm going to switch to the NFL. Who is favored to win Super Bowl 51?
Right now, you have kind of a log jam atop the leaderboard. When you look at the AFC, no real surprise there that it's the Patriots and the Pittsburgh Steelers kind of neck and neck atop the board. You're looking at the Patriots at 6-1, the Steelers at 10-1. The NFC, it's where a little bit more muddled. You have four teams at 12-1 or less. The Panthers listed at 12. You have the Cardinals at 8, along with the Seahawks. And then, of course, the Green Bay Packers at 7-1 as it stands right now.
All righty. If you had to do it right now, who are your top four playoff teams in college football?
College football, if I'm picking my four, I'm going to go Alabama, I'm going to go Florida State. I think we do have the potential to see two teams out of the ACC if things hold the right way. So I'll take Clemson, and then I think that Ohio State is still more complete than Michigan. So those would be my four teams. Now, of course, if you don't think you get four teams in or two teams from one power conference, then I'm going to go, you know what? I'm going to stick with that. I'm going to go with those as my four, just because I don't think the Big 12 has an undefeated conference champion, and I think the Pac-12 beats itself up.
Oh, okay, I'm going to ask you every week, then we'll see if that changes. I guess lastly for me is with the Cowboys, Romo out, Vikings, Bridgewater out, New England's Brady out, did this affect any of the numbers going into the season as far as their first game or that point, how many wins they have for the season?
It definitely affected the first game. New England and Arizona, once Brady was suspended, that game went from pick all the way out to six, and I anticipate that that number will close a little bit higher in favor of the Cardinals, 6.5, 7. You look at the Dallas game, Dallas went from a 3.5-point favorite against the Giants. They're now a modest 1-point underdog against the Giants with Dak getting the start there. Minnesota, the least amount of movement. The Vikings were at 1 point, a 3.5-point favorite against the Titans. That number dropped to 1 with Sean Hill announced as starter, and with the acquisition of Sam Bradford, amid speculation they may split snaps or Bradford will be out there. You're looking at Minnesota, a 2.5-point favorite. Blaine, though, I'll go one step further and give you a prop bet on Les Miles' coaching future. An offshore book put out a number earlier today. Les Miles is a 1-3 favorite to continue to be LSU's head coach as of December 31st, 2016. I think that number would surprise a lot of people who are ready to run Les out of Baton Rouge already.
Oh, I'm betting against that. I'm taking that bet, man. I'll call you later.
It'll all hinge on that $6-plus million buyout. If LSU boosters want to pony that up to try and bring in a hot name or a familiar face down there, I think Les would be out. But at the same time, if he runs the table from here on out and they can somehow find a way to right the ship before Alabama, we've seen crazier things happen in college football.
Yeah, if they could get Herman, they'd move on. Todd Furman with us on 3HL every Wednesday.
Todd, what was the biggest reaction placement, either up or down, in the polls this week after week one of games?
It was actually Arkansas State going from teams receiving votes as number 27 or 28 to now falling out of the top 100 after being absolutely throttled by Toledo.
You've been laying in the weeds with that one, Todd. You literally
have been waiting
all week.
I didn't want to neglect your beloved Red Wolves. If we talk about Blaine's Cardinals, we have to go down both paths. No, the two teams I think that are the most overrated after just 1 week's worth of results, we'll put Wisconsin and Texas up there. It's always amazing, guys.
Agreed.
When you look at these polls, it's a bad loss for LSU, but it's a great loss for Wisconsin. It can't be both. Either one team was a lot better, one team was a lot worse. Wisconsin jumping up to the top 10 is an absolute joke. And Texas, they were the beneficiary of a Notre Dame team who we talked about needing to break in, a lot of fresh faces on the defensive side, and just went out there and outscored them. I think Texas, though, can sustain this. Wisconsin's schedule too daunting, and they're going to be double-digit favorites in a lot of their marquee conference games.
Who do you think wins the Super Bowl rematch that's coming up?
You know what? This number, I was waiting for it to tick out to 3.5 to try and back Denver. I don't think it'll get there. A little bit surprised that this line has moved 6 points. I'm not buying a huge difference in these two teams that met, as you mentioned, in the Super Bowl. Yes, no Peyton Manning, but he wasn't exactly Peyton Manning that we remember. If Trevor Siemian protects the football, I think Denver can win a low-scoring football game. Total, though, has moved from 43.5 down to 41.5. Would not be shocked if it ticked down another half point.
That Patriots Cardinals game obviously going to be interesting. What's the other most interesting game that you see the first week of the NFL that you think is maybe one that might not go the way it's predicted to go?
You know what? I think I'm a little bit surprised Atlanta is a full field goal favorite over Tampa. I am extremely down on the Falcons this year. I think what we saw late in last season will be more indicative of what we're going to see from them out of the gate, not the team that started the season undefeated, beating up on some of the cupcakes. So I think that's a result that will go a little bit differently than the line indicates. For me, two games are kind of opposite ends of the spectrum for overall intrigue. Cleveland, Philadelphia, what are we going to see from RG3, and why do the Eagles think it's a great idea to start Carson Wentz right out of the gate? And Green Bay and Jacksonville, one team who knows that they're Super Bowl contenders in the form of the Packers that should be able to take care of business. And Jacksonville, along with the Oakland Raiders, everybody's quote-unquote it team. I'll believe it when I see it, with two franchises that haven't finished over 500, I don't think, since I was of legal drinking age.
All right, lightning round. South Carolina, Mississippi State. It's interesting. Mississippi State loses to South Alabama, but they're a 6.5-point favorite the next week over an SEC school.
Yeah, good spot to back State here. I'll lay the 6.5. I don't think South Carolina can score enough. Again, a low-scoring, defensive-minded football game.
Virginia Tech, Tennessee, battle at Bristol.
I initially said that I was going to look to back Virginia Tech, but Tennessee's performance against Appalachian State, I think they come out more focused. You're going to see them make massive improvement from week one to week two. I think Tennessee wins this game by 2 touchdowns.
And you mentioned Vikings and Titans. Go a little more into depth in that. Minnesota, a 2.5-point favorite with a quarterback. We're not sure who it is yet.
Yeah, I think if you're the Titans, you want to see Sam Bradford out there with a very limited playbook. You know the Vikings are going to be a run-first team, so you put 8 in the box. You'll force the Vikings, whether it's Bradford or Sean Hill, to beat you over the top. Marcus Mariota, along with the rest of this Titans cast of offense, big things expected from them. I still think 8-8 is the absolute ceiling for them. Their win total still only 5.5. The Titans have started the last 2 seasons strong. As I've said, I don't love Mike Mularkey and his ability to adjust and adapt, but I think the Titans will have a good game plan and would not be surprised if they start this season 1-0.
Yeah, I was thinking the addition of Mark Mariani at wide receiver and kick returner might be worth, I don't know, 3-4 wins.
You know what? I'm not sure I'll go that far, but I know he is a fan favorite, and it's amazing, guys, for the amount of people in media and fans that I follow of the Titans to see how big his return to Nashville means to a lot of folks there. So hopefully he can become that locker room presence.
Appreciate it, Todd. Good stuff, man.
Always a pleasure, guys. Enjoy the games this weekend.